What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Real Estate Podcast, episode 359. I'm here with Griffin.
I'm here with Trev.
And I'm drifting through the void with a spotter without him.
This week we watched Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Spaceman.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was, right?
I don't felt that way. With the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Interstellar, the Czech Republic edition.
Yeah. So
I will say it's probably, I'll probably say this is one of my favorite serious Adam Sandler movies now.
It was good, man.
Yeah. This
guy, definitely, I could definitely say it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
But it's
good. But it holds you the whole time.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Absolutely.
This movie kind of got panned on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes because it was like, most of the comments that I've seen was like, it doesn't feel like his odyssey, if you will, doesn't feel genuine. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't feel that way.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I don't second know what that of all, means.
Well, it's like basically that, like, it wasn't thoughtful. Like him wanting to get his wife.
I mean, he
back,
found himself out there.
I mean, he experiences a full arc throughout the story.
Exactly, and that's the thing too is, and I kind of understand where some people are coming from because he's very standoffish in a way.
Well, he's kind of caught up in his shit at the beginning. I mean, he's just all about the mission.
Yeah, well, when Hanush points out that he's full of shit, I mean, it kind of puts it all in perspective that, like, even how it's all been a put on.
Yeah.
Because he says, your isolation's self-induced. Like, I used to think that it was a human characteristic, that it was all of you that acted this way, but it's just you.
Yeah. And I think that because this is based off of a book and the writer of the book was from the Czech Republic. And I think that there's some things that are lost in translation, if you will. Because like when we think of like a typical male female dynamic, it's very American. You know what I mean? But it's human, but it's different around the world at the same time. You know what I mean? How the different sexes and different relationships interact with one another. And I think that might have been a thing too, where it's like, I mean, she left. She didn't go out of her way to just be a complete asshole to him or anything. She's just like, I'm out.
Well, and she had a good reason too. I mean, you saw the way he treated her.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they did a good job of the first half of the movie making you go, man, this woman's a piece of shit.
But then you see the way he was raised.
Yeah. You see the perspectives.
Yeah.
I think the cultural nuances weren't necessarily as vital. I mean, I see what you're saying in terms of like how different cultures, you know, how their family structures operate. But I don't think it was so much dependent on that. I mean, other than, you know, a Westerner's view of most Eastern countries is, you know, like this weird image of like the duty bound husband,
right? And almost that's the
like,
thing,
almost like a projection of like older generations of our country.
Yeah, and I had something and then it just escaped me. Well, it's like okay, this is what I was gonna say. So whenever you watch a movie like this, where it's like someone in isolation, especially in space, and they've got some weird like relationship thing going on, you expect this like complete and utter breakdown. And it happens in Spaceman, but not in the way that we're used to seeing it, I guess you would say.
Well, it's more cerebral and more intimate.
Yes.
He can't thrash around because, I mean, vacuum of space much, you know?
Yeah, right.
So he has to be reserved and just kind of, you know, take it out internally. And you know, Hanush was like, it was weird. He's like, I'm a space spotter / psychologist. Let's get to the heart of the problem here, man. I like that the spider wasn't in his head.
They said it's made more apparent in the book that it's real.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's my thing about the spider, though. Like, I think that's just how he looked to him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he really was a spider. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it says that somewhere. I'm just thinking, you know, because he was having that dream about a spider. All of a sudden, there's this big fucking spider there. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's how he chose to make himself look.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. You know?
Which, like, I mean, that makes total sense to me.
He's a thing from the beginning of time. Like,
well, yeah, like whenever they're going.
Or like, whenever was it God? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like when they're talking about the, like when they start calling Choppa or that space, we start calling it the beginning, when it finally gets that name in the story, there's that whole part where he's like, you know, there are no human words for what you're about to experience. And, I mean, while I thought this would be a one-man carrying show, I think Adam Sandler and Dano split the load evenly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dano's delivery, as like the way he chose to portray that, like that creature's voice, and you know, classic Dano numbness, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like how they, like, it was because it, you know, it was very detached. It wasn't human.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't understand why it was panned as much as it was, because, like, I love the movie.
I think it's the slow burn aspect of it, man.
I mean,
because you know, while there's definitely some visual there, there's not a lot going on screen outside of just it's just conversations in space
and flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for the more visual, engaging audiences, this movie's, you know, it's going to pop and then fizzle.
Yeah. Well, do you think that a lot of people were let down by the thing? Not Hanush, but like the purple, the beginning, the end.
No, because when they go through it, it's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's classic, all right, let's go through a portal and make shit look weird for a minute. Like, I mean, it doesn't reinvent the wheel in that regard, but I think the way they did it suited the movie perfectly. But I mean, once again, like, you know, I've never read the book. I know that it's based off of like an absurdist style author.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten my feet wet with that genre, but it's not my go-to.
Right.
So, but in terms of like adaptations and shit, I don't know if the picking apart is more critical in that regard, which I wouldn't have a dog in that race. But as far as just going in cold with the movie, my whole thing was that, all right, we've got us a serious Adam Sandler film. Got to keep that bar reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not really many of his serious roles that I'm that down with. I liked Rain Over Me. Or Rain on Me or something. Like and Uncut Gems and all that. Like, he can do it. His range is there. But, like, to me, this is probably one of my favorite movies he's done in a dramatic role.
Well, he's doing it, and it's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
So that's way out of his wheelhouse. Right.
But hey, regardless of genre, though, that motherfucker dresses the same even in space.
Yeah, right. I thought Hanush was going to be like, what are you wearing, bro? Like, what?
He's got the long shirt and the long shorts, the gym shorts.
Griffin, your mic is really hot all of a sudden.
Is it?
Yeah, like it's louder. It's picking up the room. Wow. I don't know what happened.
But I know it's the movie is just, you know, is it a movie I'm going to constantly go back to? No. But it was a hell of a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Because I pretty much just had no expectations in it, honestly.
I really liked it. I was like, by the end of the movie, I'm like, no, I don't want him to die, the spider, you know?
Yeah.
But whenever he saved him like that, he was like, you know what? You're all right. I'm going to get you home.
Mm-hmm. Well, the twist of him being like, hey, when you sanitize that ship,
yeah,
it worked.
How are we sounding now?
Yeah.
Something got weird.
Yeah, I can bring you back up. And I had to turn it down. I was like, why is it so hot?
For some reason, it just reset my gain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, oh, sorry. I was just saying that, like, the, you know, the movie, it's, you know, it's like, I'm really glad that it did, when it got to that pivotal moment in space movies where we need to go super realistic, or we can go super weird. I'm glad they went super
full
weird.
2001, dude.
Yeah, man. Right.
That's what it felt like. I was like, oh, a star course. Child's about to be born.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
yeah.
So here's my thing, just so I'm still, so I feel like I've understood it right. When he goes through the cloud at the end, does it spit him out at the space station?
That was the Chinese that were also going through the cloud. Because remember that when he was doing the press conference?
Thought, yeah.
Yeah. Because you can hear them talking to him and they're speaking like, when he does the little uplink, sure. which is hilarious because that would take like at least an hour for that signal to go there. But we'll let that slide. I mean, there's a spider in the movie too. So.
But it's quantum, Adam.
I like
they
Peter
put that
too.
One in there.
I've never seen that dude at anything else other than the Big Bang Theory, and he was really good in this. Like,
yeah, he was great. Yeah, and he did good as a straight guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The mustache helped.
It did.
Well, I mean, he was Adam Sandler's Billy Bob Thornton, dude.
Yeah, and like when he was trying to capture the particle, and he's like, "You can't capture that. There's nothing that's gonna hold that."
Yeah.
Like, you can't take that back.
Yeah.
You're outside of Jupiter, bro. Shit's getting weird.
I thought when he was standing in that water and he walks up and sees her, then I'm like, oh, okay, this ain't real. But I was like, it just put him back on Earth. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, and she's, whenever she's standing outside during that sequence, she has those particles.
They were both having
her.
That moment.
Yeah,
like
so it's
head,
like,
yeah.
So, I don't know, man. For a little Netflix one-off sci-fi flick, it was great. Like,
this shit was in post-production for 3 years because of test screenings. It almost never didn't see the light of day. Because the reviews were just so mixed.
Yeah.
But when you go and read the reviews, there's a lot that are like, this is a masterpiece. You know, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't understand how it brought that number down so low, because I'm seeing more good than bad. I don't.
What was crazy to me was the, when you saw the, when you saw the, like, there was one negative review that I saw, and it was actually on the, I just briefly looked over it on Wikipedia. Just to be like, okay, let's see what some budget is, stuff like that. And then the reviews, the main one that they quote, the bad review compared this movie, and see if you guys can wrap y'all's heads around this, because I was kind of like, eh. They compared it to Madam Web and, what was it? Another movie completely, like, I don't know. But I'm sitting there going, if you're comparing it to those movies, and like Did you pay attention to what this movie was doing? Because even when you remove the sci-fi aspect of the film, it's a drama movie about a relationship.
Yeah.
Madam Web's about a bitch that fucking has premonitions.
Yeah.
Like,
it's also a superhero
movie. We've got Paul Dano voicing a spotter, but, you know, to some people,
it's like, that's completely different.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's also like, dude, one can also write off too that spotter is in fact not real, because they make a point to make very sure to let you know, even up until the very end. Adam Sandler is the only one that can see this thing. So I think they even managed to put
How's
in
that?
The debate.
How they make that point? Cameras don't work.
Yeah, well, the camera don't work. When every time the dude talks, they're not picking up the interference on the comms. Like, they would hear it too.
And well, he was talking when he's pushing the button.
Yeah.
I mean, the director confirmed it is real, so it is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying, like, but I think there's also that for a lot of folks, you could still argue that the spotter was absolutely in his head.
Because I think the way it looked was for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, by the end of the movie and they're in, like, when we're off the deep end, sure, yeah, he's real. But, like, in terms of, like, the themes and the stuff that they're having, like, where all the dialogue's happening, because you could
absolutely... being alone for so long?
Yeah, you can absolutely break down Paul Dano's lines as Adam Sandler looking in a mirror and talking to himself.
Yeah.
Like he's bringing it, like, you know, it's the honest part of your conscience that's like saying all the shit.
You do a lot of thinking when you're lonely and alone.
Yeah, like, you have a lot of really.
That's what brought him there. Was he was like, I picked up your loneliness, and it's like, ooh, hand me some of that Nutella too, you know. How much did his wife look like Katie Holmes?
He spidered her.
When he was hugging it, I was like, whoa, he's hugging the spider.
Yeah. How wholesome was that for a spider?
It was, man. Like, well, dude, when he was like, and then that's where, like, he earned it. Like, he earned to live and everything was when he was, like, right there about to do the mission. And he's like, no, fuck that. I got to get out there and save his ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, put himself at risk, the whole mission. And he was just like, yeah, I'm going to die. It's all right. And he's like, no, you'll be all right. Let me show you something.
Yeah.
And then Adam Sandler was like, let me show you something, you know?
it's just a shame that, like, Adam Sandler can't be taken serious as a serious, you know what I mean, by the majority of viewers, because they see him as Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, you know what I'm saying? But I enjoy serious Sandler, you know?
Yep. Serious Sandler.
Wasn't there like some weird almost Truman Show shit going on Earth in regards to him?
Oh, like how because they were doing the ads and...
Yeah. Like, what was that? What
until
was
that he really
about?
Didn't I like that.
I wonder if that's like a nuance that just got left out of the book, because, like, it would show the old footage of him being like, hey, use this cream or whatever. And then when he goes to sanitize that rim, that dude's like, yeah, you can do it, but you gotta
read the lines.
Yeah, pay the bill. You know, like,
sponsors. That would make sense for a small country.
Yeah, well, and I thought that they were going to expand on that at some point. Like, I'm not sad that they didn't expand on it. Don't get me wrong, but I thought that they were going to, like, go in depth on, like, oh, so he's been using this shit.
He kept things engaging.
Yeah. But nah, man, I enjoyed it. Don't understand why the people that didn't like it, just go back and just now, if you've seen it, you know what the movie is. Just experience it for what it is.
Yeah. Or just wait for the next Grown Ups.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll probably like that more.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it's fine.
enjoy. I think I give it a purple Choppa star, man.
Yeah, I give it a full star. It was definitely one that I could set on the shelf. And it's like you said, Adam, it's like it feels like Eternal Sunshine and like the last part of Interstellar / 2001. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it got real interesting, you know?
Yeah. Mr. Starman.
Yeah.
Well, why was this movie rated R?
Because of the swearing, probably.
Wasn't a lot of it, though.
No.
But isn't there like a certain limit? Like once a certain word is said a certain amount of times that it has to get that.
F-bombs. I don't remember him saying that a lot.
I don't remember saying either. That at all.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was because he hugged the spider. Like, all right.
Let's see. Says there's a scene where a woman undresses down to her bra and panties before jumping into a pool. The scene is brief and does not show any explicit nudity. They kiss. There's use of strong language, fuck, as well as other terms such as shit and hell. A man takes a sleeping potion. A man is menaced by a monstrous spider, but soon comes to value its companionship and advice.
Okay.
We hear the fathers of a man and woman are both dead. A flashback shows a house in flames and a man looks on, cries, and grasps his head. We hear that his house was burned because he was a communist informant.
The blood where he was torturing the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was weird.
Like, it barely got an R, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, barely.
Like, I would let, you know... not a kid, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll let a 10-year-old watch it.
Well, I kind of appreciate the fact that because what the movie had gave it an R, I'm glad that the guy wasn't just like, let's just fucking milk that rating for what, you know what I mean? They let it, you know, it's that cushion to let the whole movie breathe and be what it is, I guess, for better or worse.
I would be interested to see what, like, one of the first cuts of this movie.
You know they cut down quite a bit.
Yeah.
If they had such a problem in the screenings, they had to cut. There's no telling what they removed.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. I was surprised at how long the movie went from development filming to release, like, all the way through the pandemic.
Yeah. It'd be out there.
I bet post visual was done during 2020.
They had to bring Dano back in there. Do some extra voice work. It's like, how do you want me to sound? Out of breath.
Yeah. This is the best part, man. This is the best part of the trip.
Yeah.
Full star.
It was great. Definitely deserves a viewing if you haven't seen it. So before we go on to movie news here, did you guys experience the eclipse?
No.
I caught like a couple minutes near the end from where I was, which I was only in an area of 80%.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even...
Totality. I mean, you know,
I saw the 2017 one. I saw it getting dark outside for a little bit, and then it.
Yeah.
What was really cool was seeing the footage where people went up in airplanes.
Ooh.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Because they could get like the total eclipse. Now, if it would have been a total eclipse of the heart, I would have gone outside and watched that. Because that's like a once in a lifetime kind of a thing to be in that path. But so, the world didn't blow up. We all got to stamp our I survived another.
Yeah.
Y'all saw that stamp card, right?
Yeah.
There was no red heifer apocalypse.
Yeah.
dude, you know how we've experienced a couple of eclipses, you know,
mm-hmm.
eclipses eyes. And, you know, animals get weird when the eclipse happens. I was at someone's house and they had a bunch of pet peacocks. And when the eclipse started happening and it got real weird and I was like, I got to get out of here. I don't know what these things are.
Noisy?
They were being noisy. And like every time that I've been there, they're just like walking around chilling.
Yeah, they're like little yard pimps.
No, dude, they were pluming.
Yeah.
And like, it was like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, they were like, come on, boys, we've practiced for this. It's the end.
Yeah. It got weird, dude. And I was like, man, this, I've got to go. Like, this is
like the big rock's coming.
Yeah.
It's built into them, you know, because they say that they're from dinosaurs.
Yeah.
If only every time they would plume up, it would do the NBC jingle.
Dun, dun, dun. Dude, they were getting irate. And I was just like, and then all the dogs chilled. Like, it was a weird day. The birds got violent, the dogs got chill.
Yep.
It's weird how it affects them.
I felt weird.
Like, I only saw a few minutes, but it was like, did it get dark? Yeah. Did I give a shit? Not really.
Well, yeah.
If it was the total, I would have I would have went outside and watched it, but no, I'm not going to travel.
No, hell no. No, I was outside.
Another 20 something years, right?
Yeah. I was outside the whole time, and it got, you know.
It'll happen again when you're 57.
Wow.
Well, hopefully we'll be here to see it. You know what I mean? Hopefully the world won't implode.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, life kind of is truly like a video game. Like, really awful fucking crazy shit's happening, but, like, you're just, you know, you're in the cosmetic part of your house.
We're all on our way out. Act accordingly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But by then, maybe we'll have our bionic eyes so we can straight up look at it.
Oh, the robot eye?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Man, I just got these new retinas the other day. Fuck. Why are you upset about it? I see a mushroom cloud 30 miles away. It's coming.
You'll be able to look through the clouds?
Yeah.
Infrared?
You'll be able to seed clouds with them.
Well, we got a little bit of movie news here. So Kevin Smith, working on a new movie. It's a coming-of-age story. Just don't expect Jay and Silent Bob to show up. So Kevin Smith is sharing... What?
I said cool.
So Kevin Smith has shared details on his next movie venture entitled The 430 Movie. Once again written and directed by Smith, the film has been acquired by Saban Films, who also distributed Jay and Silent Bob Reboot in 2019. However, this time around, Smith will not be bringing that iconic duo along for the ride. The movie is described as, quote, set in the summer of 1986, the coming-of-age comedy follows three 16-year-old friends who spend their Saturday sneaking into movies at the local multiplex. But when one of the guys also invites the girl of his dreams to see the latest comedy, each of the teens will learn something serious about life and love before the credits roll. The film will see Austin Zajur, Nicholas Carrillo, and Reed Northrup as the three friends with Sienna Agudong playing the dream girl who is invited to join the movie loving trio on their journey. Speaking to Deadline about the story behind the movie, Smith said, "The day we bought Smod Castle Cinemas, I not only reclaimed an integral piece of my childhood, but I also suddenly had access to a visually interesting and cost-free movie location. So I started writing a personal to the past for us 70s and 80s kids, the pre-information generation who grew up without the internet, when romance and relationships required much more than a swipe to get started. And the idea of asking someone out you had a crush on was terrifying as the looming threat of nuclear war." So yeah, despite every Kevin Smith project seemingly being like the one he intends to be wrapping up his career, along with several prominent stories or characters, the writer-director just keeps on coming back with more new movies. While he recently dipped into the world of television with his Masters of the Universe reboot / sequel series for Netflix, Smith has constantly been working on expanding his Askewniverse, as well as delivering several projects that have all stemmed from his personal life. The 430 movie looks to be another example of the latter, but he is also planning some nostalgic returns to his older stomping grounds, too. And, of course, he's working on sequels to Mallrats, Tusk, and Jay and Silent Bob as well.
So it's going to be him, Walt,
and Brian.
You know what I mean? He's pretty much.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be the Jay and Silent Bob, but I did hear that there's going to be Ray and Silent Rob.
I mean. But here's the thing, like, this could be, like, the, you know, part of the View Askewniverse in that way, where it's like, this is pre-Clerks. This is, you know what I mean?
It's a prequel.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine this being the one that finally breaks out for him.
I could see it. I don't, does teenage, like, comedic romance movies do well anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, you know, American Pie, in the early 2000s,
you know, they worked. So I don't know. I don't know, man. But I'm interested to see it regardless, you know? So, and I'm not upset Jay and Silent Bob's not in it. You know, it's fine. It doesn't fit. Like, them in Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
Or, you know, allegedly in Moose Jaws made sense. Yeah. But
we'll see him again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Next up, Hellboy gets first major update in months, the Hellboy reboot. So believe it or not, another reboot of Hellboy is coming this year. And thanks to a new report, we may now know when. As per a report by The Wrap and hidden amid a recent interview with Hellboy creator Mike Mignola, it is revealed that the reboot titled Hellboy the Crooked Man is now due to be released this fall. Considering that filming on Hellboy the Crooked Man wrapped filming back in May of last year, this would certainly make sense, and while this release window has not yet been confirmed officially, it is the most promising Jesus Christ update we've had regarding the project for some time. The Hellboy reboot will drop audiences in the 1950s as Hellboy and a rookie BPRD agent find themselves stranded in rural Appalachia. They soon discover a small community haunted by witches led by a local devil with a troubling connection to Hellboy's past, the Crooked Man. Directed by Brian Taylor, who did Crank and Happy, from a screenplay by Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden based on the Crooked Man limited series written by Mignola. While many are disappointed that neither Ron Perlman nor David Harbour will be reprising the role of the demon, producer Les Weldon has previously explained why Kesey is the perfect actor to portray the iconic comic book character, and now his iteration will differ from his predecessors. We went on a long soul-searching expedition to find the right Hellboy, and we knew that this Hellboy was going to be a very moody, very kind of dark and creepy movie. There's no gloss, nothing like that. And Jack, look, I had worked with Jack before, as had other guys in our company, and we sort of came to the same conclusion that sort of personality, he was going to work really nicely for the film.
Surprised they didn't mention Ghost Rider. He directed that too.
Well, they're trying to bury that. But yeah, so this fall, I'm interested. Like, look, if they're going to do Hellboy is like a one-off thing just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
I'm excited about being in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
Appalachia, like that's, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. But thank God he didn't write it, because he wrote the screenplay for Jonah Hex.
Mm, okay.
But you know what I mean? We dodged a bullet there. Yeah.
Right. So I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a week or so ago, it was like the 20th anniversary of the original Hellboy movie. Which is like wild to think about. You know what I mean?
Yep. Came out in 2004.
So, I mean, it makes sense why they're...
That's been happening a lot lately where they're like, this movie's been out for 24 years.
And you're like,
20 years. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Shut up, you know? But yeah, I'm interested to see this. Hopefully it does well. If it's going to be like more horror centric, then that's going to be very interesting to see how, you know, how audiences react to that and then how it's executed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. So Francis Ford Coppola has been working on this movie called Megalopolis, right?
Yeah.
So it screened to studios without interest. It's so not good.
Oh, that's the quote. But he self-financed it.
Yeah, dude. Like $1 billion or some shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Francis Ford Coppola, the brilliant director of The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, screened his latest largely self-financed film, Megalopolis, to studio heads on March 28th, such as Donna Langley of Universal, Netflix, Ted Sarandos, and Tom Rothman of Sony. He's looking for a unicorn, a mainstream distributor that can afford a massive marketing campaign for what is, for all intents and purposes, a giant art film. Based on reactions from that screening, Coppola may be out of luck, though being considered too risky for film studios in 2024 is a veritable badge of honor in this culture. Various outlets have collected the largely anonymous responses from people who were at the screening for the film, which Coppola described as follows. It's a love story. A woman is divided between loyalties to two men, but not only two men. Each man comes with a philosophical principle. He elaborates. One is her father, who raised her, who taught her Latin on his lap, and is devoted to a much more classical view of society. The Marcus Aurelius kind of view. The other one, who is the lover, is the enemy of the father, but is dedicated to a much more progressive, let's leap into the future, let's leap over all of this garbage that has contaminated humanity for 10,000 years. Let's find what we really are, which are an enlightened, friendly, joyous species. The film seems like another of Coppola's great epics and stars Adam Driver, Juan Carlo Esposito, Audrey Plaza, John Voight, and many others. The big studios almost inevitably have had trepidatious reactions, while Puck has already reported one viewer commenting on how unflinching and how batshit it is, and that it has, quote, zero commercial prospects. The Hollywood Reporter has now published different reactions to the film from distributors, with people saying, there is just no way to position this movie. Everyone is rooting for Francis and feels nostalgic. But then there is the business side of things. I find it hard to believe any distributor would put up cash money and stay in first position to recoup the P&A as well as their distribution fee. How do you define commercial? You look at a movie like Blade Runner and it became so much more commercial than on opening weekend. It's so not good, and it was so sad watching it. Anybody who puts P&A behind it, you're going to lose money. This is not how Coppola should end his directing career. Coppola. That's...
Man, I thought you were finished.
No, I was just saying, that's wild.
Look at Shia LaBeouf in general. He's in it. Look at him.
Awesome.
That's what they're like. It's batshit.
It makes me want to watch it more.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see it.
Yeah, for
sure. But in this economy,
Yeah.
I mean, he spent $120 million on it.
Yeah.
So he's got to get that back plus.
Yeah.
Like, even A24 won't touch it? I mean.
Well, I don't know if A24's got the money to put behind marketing something this big. You know what I mean?
Like, he needs to. Well, it'll market itself. I mean, it ain't got to have a bunch of commercials and.
Yeah.
Put the trailer on fucking YouTube, man. Like.
Well, I mean, look at Poor Things. You know? Yeah. How the hell do you market that? And, you know.
And it won Oscars.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Oh, he's 85. That's a lot of money, man.
This could be another story like from Spaceman. They may take it back to the drawing board.
Remember here a while back we read something where it was about the props and the set, and they scrapped it all and started over.
Yeah.
Because the CGI looked bad or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I just hope it doesn't get shelved. I mean, what if he just puts it out?
Yeah.
Just put it online. I mean,
he could do like a lot of comedians are doing where he just drops it on a website. And if you want to watch it, go to that website and pay, you know, $10 or whatever. There'll be a lot of people that would... There's a lot of people that's going to watch it because he's attached to it, and then there's a lot of people that's going to watch it because of the oddity and the absurdity of it. You know, like...
I hate that. There are these studios. They've always praised him. But he comes along with this. I've self-financed this movie, this and that. And there's a reason why he had to do that, you know?
Yeah.
He went in and tried to get money for it, and people were like, what's it about?
Yeah. I don't know.
I can't really explain it. You just need to let me make it.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the bottom dollar, Hollywood will be like, fuck you.
Yep. Hopefully it will get a release, but I don't know, man. But like you said, nobody.
That's like wild.
Apple, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because you'll be able to write it off if it tanks.
Exactly.
We need to hit Elon up.
Oh, dude,
he's got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty. He buys it, puts it on Twitter. You got to have Twitter. You got to be a subscriber to Twitter to watch it.
Oh, shit.
Done.
Oh, shit. Like,
I'll distribute the movie.
Yeah.
No. Don't take it to Disney.
I mean, that's wild, though. It's so not good. From the man. And
for them to just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's bad. Like,
Well, here's the question. Is it bad because it's bad, or is it bad because it's questioning the social norms of the time?
Adam Driver plays Caesar.
I mean,
it's got a stacked cast, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, Gus is in it. Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. Like, that's my biggest question for it. Is it bad because of it's just bad, or is it bad because, someone can't release a movie like this now because people are not going to receive it well? And it's like, well, you see what I'm saying?
I see. Because he's old school.
Mm-hmm. And from this synopsis, it sounds like it's flirting that line.
He's like, come on, I put Shia LaBeouf in a fucking dress.
Yeah.
Release the movie.
So, hopefully it will get released, but it's not looking good for our boy. I'm going to call him Ford.
I'm going to call him B-Cobes.
So the Matrix 5 announcement sparks divided reaction from fans. So the surprise announcement that a fifth movie in the Matrix franchise is now in the works has sparked mixed reactions from fans on social media. While the series remains an iconic saga in sci-fi cinema, many have questioned whether the Matrix 5 is necessary especially when neither of the Wachowskis will be at the helm. If audiences wanted another Matrix movie, they would have shown up to Matrix Resurrections. They barely showed up, relatively speaking, to Matrix Revolutions 20 and a half years ago. Not every once successful film is an endless exploitable IP, says one reaction to the news, with another adding, making a Matrix 5, especially one without either of the Wachowskis writing or directing, goes against the entire message of Resurrections. And then there's a bunch of stuff. The Martian writer Drew Goddard will now take the reins of the Matrix franchise, with Lana Wachowski on board as an executive producer. And while some have criticized this, others are excited to see the Matrix in the hands of someone else. Others,
Martian though, Matt Damon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Others, though, have simply been left confused over why so many have seemingly turned against the franchise since the release of the Matrix Resurrections in 2021. I'm so confused, it feels like just a couple of years ago when Matrix 4 came out, everyone was super psyched for it. They announced Matrix 5 and suddenly everyone has turned on the franchise. Did I miss something? Said one reaction, with others pointing out that the meta approach and Lana Wachowski's story hinted that a fifth outing would never happen. I didn't really get that. The news that The Matrix 5 is now in the works dropped yesterday. Plot details currently remain unknown, as does the involvement of Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss. With Warner Brothers Motion Pictures President of Production Jesse Ehrman hinting a new idea. Drew came to Warner Brothers with a new idea that we all believe would be an incredible way to continue the Matrix world by both honoring what Lana and Lily began over 25 years ago and offering a unique perspective based on his own love of the series and characters. The entire team at Warner Brothers Discovery is thrilled for Drew to be making this new Matrix film, adding his vision to this cinematic canon the Wachowskis spent a quarter of a century building here at the studio. What if Matrix 4 was just what it was, yeah, right? And this is just a different group of characters in the Matrix universe.
Exactly. Dude, I'm kind of more excited that it's been handed off.
Mm-hmm.
This dude worked on Cloverfield, wrote Cloverfield, wrote 9 episodes of Lost, produced 35 episodes of Lost, worked on Daredevil.
Yeah.
Oh, written by creator, 39 episodes.
Yeah.
The Martian. The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of this guy's stuff, so I kind of want it to be out of their hands, because there's a whole cool world there to explore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've already got the story of the One, right? Yeah. We've already got Neo's story. One? Well, and that's the thing. Like, we all know what happens there.
Man.
Someone could take this IP, take this property, and just have it, drop it anywhere in that world, and it just be in the Matrix. The
Matrix shit, yeah.
I mean, that's what Animatrix did. Like, I don't know, man.
I'm not mad at it.
No.
Especially with this guy behind it. All I'm gonna say. I'd rather him do one than the other two.
Yeah.
Going on.
Than Lana and Lily.
Whatever their names are.
Yeah.
Not gonna
the Wachowski siblings. So yeah, I'm interested. I mean, there's a lot of stories to be told. But here's the thing. Like, I feel like the Matrix is finally getting into that Star Wars territory now.
Yeah.
Where
main enough story time finished.
Yeah. And enough time has passed that, like, other people can kind of dip their toes into the world of the Matrix and expand on the mythos of the Matrix without ruining what has came before it. The question is, are they going to be, are writers, directors, are they going to be allowed to do that? Or is the fandom going to kill itself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I mean,
that last movie barely had a turnout, so.
Yeah. And I like that. I mean, I don't know. So it's fine. It's whatever. But Drew Goddard, though, W. So. All right. Dune 2 director Denis Villeneuve teams up with Legendary for Nuclear War, a scenario adaptation. So Legendary Entertainment has plans to collaborate once again with Dune Part 2 director Denis Villeneuve for Annie Jacobson's nonfiction book, Nuclear War, a Scenario. The book recently made its way onto the New York Times bestseller lists. Jacobson's book goes into the hypothetical aftermath of a nuclear conflict, drawing on insights from military and civilian experts involved in weapon development and emergency response planning. Per Deadline, the $500,000 against $1.5 million agreement comes after the critical and commercial success of Oppenheimer, a film that chronicled the race to develop the atomic bomb during World War II. Villeneuve is expecting to take on Nuclear War, a Scenario, as another significant project. The film is anticipated to be a stark warning about the potential consequences of escalating nuclear tensions in a politically unstable world. Villeneuve's involvement in Nuclear War would mark another collaboration with his longtime partner, Tanya Lapointe, with whom he has produced several projects. The adaptation is expected to explore themes similar to those in Oppenheimer, focusing on the ethical dilemmas and existential threats posed by nuclear weapons. The news follows the success of Dune Part 2, which has grossed over $637 million globally, making it the highest-grossing film of the year so far. Legendary Entertainment, under the leadership of principals Josh Grode and Mary Parent, continue to invest in blockbuster projects, as evidenced by the recent release of Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. The film, part of Legendary's MonsterVerse franchise, opened to a worldwide gross of $251 million in its first week. But, on the heels of that, Legendary has officially greenlit Dune 3, also known as Dune Messiah.
Opening week, they were like, green light.
Yeah, we're doing it. Marking the conclusion of the acclaimed Dune trilogy. While specific details regarding Villeneuve's adaptation of Frank Herbert's third novel in the series remains under wraps, the film is expected to continue the epic saga of Paul Atreides. Although Villeneuve might prefer to delay Dune 3, given the financial and critical achievements of Dune Part 2, the studio is probably eager for his swift return to Arrakis. However, the director believes he requires a hiatus after spending 6 years immersed in the relentless desert landscape, stating, "I did both movies back-to-back, which makes absolute sense for me. I felt that it was a good idea to move forward right after Part 1. We were already designing, writing, etc. But it also meant that for 6 years I was on Arrakis nonstop, and I think it will be healthy to step back for a bit. First, make sure that we have a strong screenplay. The thing I want to avoid is not having something ready. I never did it. And now I feel it could be dangerous because of the enthusiasm. We need to make sure all the ideas are on paper." Dune Messiah, the story picks up with Paul Atreides, now feared as Mahdib, wielding unprecedented power as Emperor of the Known Universe, revered as a religious icon by the fervent Fremen. Paul grapples with the hostility from political houses he displaced upon ascending to the throne. Amidst the internal strife and external conspiracies threatening his reign, the greatest danger to Paul emerges from within his own circle, as his beloved Shani and their unborn heir becomes target in the ongoing power struggle.
You don't know what's wild?
What?
This book was published March 26, 2024.
Wow.
And the book is so good.
Yeah.
That they've already shopped it out to a fucking, you know, legendary director. Yeah. When you read the reviews on the books, people are like, this one guy's like, I read it twice. I purchased copies of it to give to others. It's so good. It's like, damn, it just came out.
Yeah, I would.
I have to look into that.
I'm gonna
401 pages.
Yeah, I may have to grab this. Give it a go.
Give it a spin.
But yeah. So I'm interested, like, I mean, dude, Doom Messiah is going to be the next film that he works on, right? Or he could take some downtime.
Well, because, he said, like, he wanted to step away. He might do this movie.
Yeah, because, like, it's based on a book.
Don't want to get burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's already an outline there.
Yeah, so. Makes sense. But, yeah, I'm interested. First of all, I'm interested in watching Doom 2.
Oh, yeah, next week. By the way,
yeah,
everybody's all right with that. Trav, you good on that?
Yeah. Sure. And then I am interested to see this, and I might read the book. I don't know. We'll see. So next up here, MCU's Fantastic Four movie cast Ozark star as its female Silver Surfer. Online reactions expectedly harsh. So Fantastic Four has found its Silver Surfer in Ozark star Julia Garner. According to Deadline, the highly anticipated Marvel movie will be bringing Shalabal to screen, a female version of the character that was originally introduced as the lover of the Surfer, but goes on to have the Surfer's power endowed upon her. Mm. There's some very interesting words.
What a line.
Yeah, whoa. Although there have been very few details about the movie's plot revealed or how the Silver Surfer will fit into it, there are a number of connections this version of the Surfer has to several big Marvel characters that are all rumored to be making their MCU debut in the coming years. In Marvel Comics, the original Silver Surfer, Norrin Radd, first gained his powers from Galacticus after agreeing to find the villain planets to devour in exchange for the guaranteed safety of his home planet of Xen'Law and his lover Shalabal. Over the course of this story arc, Shalabal is at one point abducted by Mephisto and herself battles against Galacticus when her home world is attacked by the mighty being after the Silver Surfer turns against him. With Galacticus being heavily rumored to be the main antagonist of the Fantastic Four's debut movie, and Mephisto constantly doing the rounds on MCU rumor threads, it is likely that at least some of the character's story will be incorporated into her appearance in the movie. As expected, with this announcement comes a variety of strong online opinions. And then there's a bunch of Twitter pictures of Twitter posts and whatnot here. And then it goes into like speculation. So here's what I'm going to say. First of all, does it surprise me that they cast a female Silver Surfer? No, it doesn't surprise me.
Well, at least there's some material to go off of. Like, they didn't just do that.
Yeah.
Because I thought they just did it.
Right.
It's like, oh, there was one. Okay.
Yeah. And then also, there's rumors going around that, like, the Fantastic Four movie isn't going to be set in the, like, current MCU timeline, that it's going to be, like, a different universe potentially, and it's taking place in like the 60s, so we don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
this may be a way of them, they can do the movie, but these actors don't have to lock it in and play another one and another one, like,
right? So I don't know what's going to happen with it, or if they're going to keep this casting, you know, because this could turn into a whole nother Doctor Strange situation with the dude from The Office. You know, they could be locking Pedro and the rest of these guys.
I don't see him sticking around for no...
For 20 years.
He's just got a lot going on, man. Like, he's...
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So, it's, you know, it's interesting, but I'm not upset by it. Like, here's the thing. It's Silver Surfer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a lot of people out there that's like diehard Silver Surfer fans, this, that, and the other. But like, Silver Surfer was always a gateway to something bigger coming. So I never really like was like, oh, it's Silver Surfer. You know what I mean? I'm like, when's Galactica showing up? You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're here for. So, and who knows? This could be like, she shows, like, the female Silver Surfer could show up because the male Silver Surfer, her lover, whatever, they'll probably make it like a brother and sister thing in this new MCU stuff or whatever. But maybe she needs to enlist the help of the Fantastic Four to go and save him or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe her showing up is how the Fantastic Four, like, goes into space and gets their powers. Like, we don't know. We don't know how they're going to incorporate this into it. So at the end of the day, I'm not upset by it. What do you think, Trav?
Doesn't really bother me.
Like,
I mean, you pretty much summed it up, man.
I mean, they cast Javier Bardem as Galacticus. I want to see... I don't even want him to have a helmet. I want him to have that hair from No Country for Old Men just floating through space like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I want. So, and last here, Jonathan Majors' domestic violence case sentencing sees former MCU star avoid jail. So Jonathan Majors will not be heading to jail for his 2023 assault conviction. He has instead been instructed to attend a 52-week in-person domestic violence program. The ruling follows his conviction last year on charges of assaulting and harassing his ex-girlfriend, Grace Jabari. The sentence, delivered in a lower Manhattan courtroom by Judge Michael Gaffey, instructs the actor to attend a 52-week in-person domestic violence program near his home in Los Angeles. This program could allow Majors to attend virtually further down the line and is in addition to the mental health therapy the actor has previously been enrolled in. Further emphasizing the seriousness of the matter, the judge has instituted a permanent order of protection prohibiting any form of contact between Jabari and Majors, with any breach potentially leading to jail time. I think he did Majors a favor on that.
Yeah.
Nearly 4 months after being found guilty of two misdemeanor court counts of harassment and assault against Jabari, Majors has avoided up to 1 year in jail, which was originally believed to be a strong possibility for the charges. But regardless of that, his status in Hollywood is still going to be one of on hiatus for the foreseeable future. This,
ruined his career, you know?
Well, this headline right here, Jonathan Majors has not accepted responsibility for his actions, according to his accuser. The case against Majors has been clouded by contradictions from the start, with both parties claiming the other to be the abuser at one point or another. However, when the case was heard in court, it did not take long for the jury to agree that the charges against Majors were beyond doubt. After arriving in court on Monday for sentencing, supported by his current girlfriend, Megan Good, and his family, Majors then listened to Jabari read her victim impact statement, as well as saying that she believes the actor, quote, is not sorry and has not accepted responsibility for his actions. Jabari also noted, he will do this again. He will hurt another woman. This is a man who believes he's above the law. I had a career and life and body, all of which he's damaged. I will not rest until he's not in danger. I will not rest until he's not in danger. He refuses to acknowledge.
Like a choreographer. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He refuses to acknowledge guilt and take responsibility. He remains a danger to all those around him. I've seen his anger. He doesn't have control over it. So, I mean,
we saw his anger too, where he was running away from you because he wanted to be away from you.
Yeah. And you wouldn't fucking leave him alone. Yeah. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. I'm not going to accept responsibility or feel any kind of way. If you try to take my phone away
and I snatch it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that video we were talking about earlier where that chick was punching that dude and he just like flipped. Like, look, it's not cool. Domestic violence, hitting and all this, but it goes both ways. It's not cool if a dude does it, but it's also not cool if a chick does it. So like everybody just needs to calm down. But
unless it's on camera, like that, yeah, exactly. We saw in the car, if that guy didn't have that, nobody believe him.
No.
They'd believe her. It would have been
over. Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, if he's doing 52 weeks of this, I mean, here's the thing.
But if what he did was so bad, why didn't they put him in jail?
Exactly.
I don't understand, like.
And I don't understand how the jury said that it was beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's like.
Because she said it so. She read that statement where she was like, he hasn't taken responsibility. How do you know?
Yeah, exactly, right?
I mean, he's in court.
Yeah. And he's worried about his career. You can't
fault
the man for
that. When is Ezra Miller going to go to jail?
Yeah, exactly, right? So. But yeah,
He assaulted someone, kidnapped someone, and his movie still came out.
Things with some minors or something? There were some minor things happening?
Yeah, he kidnapped a woman and a kid and kept them on a farm somewhere.
Yeah, like, what?
And his movie still dropped.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, you know.
Him or be back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's such a good actor.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
It's a bummer that, you know, like, look, he's going to put his time in.
I mean, I ain't saying she's a gold digger, you know?
Yeah, right.
But she was like an extra.
Yeah.
You know, now the girl he's dating is like got a career.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be real careful with those people that are, you know, trying to get a career in Hollywood.
Yeah. Because
she's dating this guy. He's on top of the world. And as soon as he's like, I'm done with this, it's like, oh, yep. Well, I'm calling the cops because you snatched my phone or your phone away from me.
Yeah.
And now I'm on antidepressants because, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful with that, man. Vultures.
Yep. Pack your bones clean, you know? But yeah, that's all the movie news that I saw. We actually had some decent movie news, you know?
Yeah.
I'm ready for some trailers, though.
All right. Trav, you good?
Yeah, man.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white. I think he's about to kill himself. About Jack and Diane. It's got a little, like, grit to it.
Yeah.
Reminds me of, what was that, Nebraska?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It looks sad.
It does look sad.
Yeah.
Very I don't know what's happening, but it looks sad.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
Hmm.
Wait a minute now. What movie is that? Fly Me to the Moon? Why would it do that? It's a trailer. Well, it is what it is. It's got a I bet you do.
Oh, shit.
Every time I see him, I think about that. I bite my thumb at them. See, all right, I had an ad. Is everybody?
Yeah, I'm good.
All the movies have a certain look to them.
Yeah.
This got a Tarantino vibe, dude.
Yeah.
That looks familiar.
He was in Three from Hell. He's been a bunch of Rob Zombie stuff. That's the guy.
What guy?
Nope. The guy from No Country, Temple, Texas.
Oh. I like this.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I'll have
to throw that on the pile, you know?
What's this ad for?
Old baghead?
Yeah.
What up, baghead?
Sometimes they call him Butterface. I thought that was him. That black dude, that's Faison Love, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what? All right. It was Big Worm himself, dude. Oh. Let's say Barbarian. All right. Go get a flashlight. Justin Long will be down here checking out the square footage in that hole. Yeah. So why are you dead? And I got, what was that movie with the hand?
Talk to Me.
Yeah. Ooh. Burn it down.
Yeah.
Collect the insurance money. They're showing a lot of the movie.
Yeah, too much. Damn.
Looks pretty brutal, though.
What a baghead.
I mean, it don't look terrible.
Nah, it looks all right.
I like the Barbarian and It sounds pretty cool. I had an ad. I had to back it up.
Oh, I'm excited about this. The Bambi, The Reckoning.
The Reckoning. He's coming back, dude.
With a vengeance.
He's going to fuck all the hunters up. Killing his mom. That's got to be right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope.
It's Bambi, bitch.
Yeah.
All right. Look, is it like a pheasant?
Target practice?
They got a little more money this time.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the ones that killed Bambi's mom. Aiming that kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's Bambi, isn't it? Holy shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
It's a stag, dude.
Holy shit. Just off that alone. Looks like
it's going to be better than.
Yeah.
I mean, we owe it to ourselves to check out the whole.
Yeah.
The Peter Pan. The.
Yeah.
Pooh 2. Poon. Pooniverse.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah, the Pooniverse. The Poonaniverse.
That's it. It's like I thought this was Guardians mix. Walking around with an amplifier. Like a bass amp. Looks like the '80s or
yeah.
A little Shining vibe.
Yeah.
Creepy. This looks pretty good, man. Good trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Not too scabby. I've got a ad here. All right. Packing it up. Oh. Finally. Don't be a big star. Hell yeah, dude. Oh.
Oh, shit.
I think the Night Stalker might be her. Was that Kevin Bacon?
I think so.
And why does he have a Southern accent?
She had a Southern accent in the other movie, right?
Yeah, but he's got one. He's in L.A. Hmm. Holy shit. She's gonna kill him. It is. Fucking right, dude. Fucking right. Another ad. Looks good. Okay. Oh, I haven't watched this yet.
I haven't either.
I'm excited. The moment of truth. I think she'll be able to do it. Joaquin, man, he wouldn't fuck with it.
No.
It ain't, man. He's like, this ain't fucking Inherit Vice, motherfucker. Look how skinny he is.
Yeah.
Mm. Dude, if this takes place inside this prison this whole time,
yeah,
that's gonna be wild. On his head, you know?
Yeah.
Bo is no longer afraid.
Mm-mm.
This looks great. She should have put it over his face. Is he going to move into it? And it moves. Wow, classy. Podlocked.
Doesn't look bad. At all.
God damn it. I got to drop this one in the thing because this is the final one. And what's crazy is it's in English, but it is a foreign.
Okay, okay. That Joker movie is supposed to be like a musical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested to see
how they do that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dropping it in general.
Ew. Oh, Lionsgate. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But it is a foreign. If you look at everybody's names and the directors, like it's they're making their way over, dude.
Yeah.
Next level of Indian movie. I'm from South. Bet.
We might. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Count down. You ready, Trav?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. You'll see why I did this. Bullet violence.
Is it going to be on the train?
Oh, yeah. Watch this shit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
The most violent and gruesome film. Hell yeah. How did they get on the train with all these knives?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, shit. This dude don't fucking play. See what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Here's my thing. Like, with these movies, we've watched a lot of these trailers, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, well, I don't know. I could be wrong. But at least my interpretation is like, the majority of them are so ingrained in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to cross over to a different audience that doesn't know that culture.
Well,
that
like Triple R broke that just a little, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like it, and Triple R is like it, since it was a period piece, it's like, mm-hmm. here's the situation with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the trailers and stuff that we watch, like there's violence, mm-hmm. violence, you know, there's all this,
a lot of violence,
all this dispute and stuff. And it's like, they're the movies that they are making is perfect for the Fast and the Furious, yep. crowd 90% of the time, but it's lost on that crowd because they don't know the culture. They
being
don't
in
know.
English is going to help.
Yes.
And
yes.
on a train, there's, I mean, it's just a train full of people.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I could definitely see them continue making the films that they're making there, but also branch out in a way where it's like, let's streamline and simplify this story to where it's just black and white.
Yep.
And then refine it from there. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe no sing song. That movie's probably not going to have a sing song in it.
Maybe.
I don't think it will.
No, I don't think
it's so. Targeted at a Western audience. It's in fucking English.
Yeah. So.
I think it'll do well.
I think it will,
too. If people will watch that trailer, they'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop that on my pops, you know? Like,
I mean, that's peak 2005.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so.
It's one week.
One week. Optimus Primo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Hashtag never forget Optimus Primo. So, Dune 2 next week?
Dune 2. We're at the end of our movie list. It came out just in time.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see it.
Me too. I'm going to watch it on the biggest TV I got.
I mean, it's, I've heard that it's the greatest sci-fi movie ever made. What's, that's just name? What I've heard.
Oh, Abyss.
James Cameron
praised it.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen that? Have you seen the scenes that were floating around on Twitter? Or that one scene where they're all running and then they jump?
No.
And they fly up to like this little mountainside? Oh, it's so cool looking.
Nah, I've been avoiding all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I know the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen. But, like, Dennis's vision is...
It looks so good.
Yeah, it's a whole different
way that it's shot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, just them running on that sand and those black uniforms, like those... Yeah. They got, like, little jetpacks or something. It's like, mm.
Yeah. Wee-wee.
But, yeah.
Dune 2. I'm so excited, man.
You just can't hide it?
No. Don't want to hide it.
And as of tomorrow, Fallout will be out, so there's that too.
Yeah. Which they've already renewed for a season 2.
Damn.
Like, that, they announced that.
It hadn't even dropped
today
yet, and they're like, we're going to do a season, second season.
Yeah, it was floating around on Twitter and stuff today that they have confirmed that they are renewing it for another season. Man. Don't know if it's going to be the same cast in the same part of, you know, timeline and all that, but they are going to be working on another Fallout series, so, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Fucking checks in the mail.